What makes a family distinctively Christian? Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell teaches us how to raise our family for the Lord.
Young people, listen to me this morning. You're a gift to your parents, but your parents are a gift to you. And God gave them to you to teach you and to instruct you. And moms and dads, you might say, well, Pastor Chappell, I want to teach my children and so forth, but they just don't want to hear it. Well, they want to eat your food. They want you to buy sneakers and cell phones. I think they need to sit there and listen when you open God's Word.
At times, life can seem like an endless cycle of hopelessness. In our series, The Difference Jesus Makes, we will discover that no matter what is taking place in our lives, we can always turn to Jesus. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Whatever you may be facing, believe that Jesus understands and has a plan for your life. When we bring our problems to the Lord and trust Him to take care of our needs, He will make a difference in our lives like no one else can. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Families That Make a Difference.
I've had the joy of going into the homes of hundreds of our church families and folks around the Antelope Valley and sitting down in living rooms and talking about the Lord and talking about family life and how to strengthen our relationships around the Word of God. And every family is distinct, and every family is at a different place in their journey, and every family has an enemy named Satan whose desire is to sift us like wheat and destroy us before we can make a difference for Christ in this world. And most couples that I meet would say that they have a desire for their marriage to be distinctively Christian to the point that it would make a difference in their community and in the lives of their children. And most parents that I meet have a strong desire to raise their children and to send them out like a well-crafted arrow into this world to make a difference for the Lord. That by instilling biblical principles in their hearts and by training them up in the way they should go, that they would not be the run of the mill, but that they would be different. And in being different, they would make a difference in the world in which we live. And I believe that as we hear and apply these passages, that God can work in our hearts and help us to have a family life that is distinct. I want you to notice this morning as we study the three purposes of the Christian home that God establishes in the Scriptures. Notice, if you will, first of all, God created the family for biblical companionship. And we see that in Genesis chapter 2. The Bible tells us in this passage that God had created Adam and that from Adam He created Eve to be a helper and to be a completer for Adam. Verse 22 says, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made He a woman and brought her unto the man." Here we see the first wedding ceremony in the Bible. God is presiding and Adam and Eve come together as one. Now, someone might say, I perceive as you speak about Adam and Eve that you believe in a literal creation and that you are a fundamental interpreter of the Word of God. You perceive correctly. We believe that we worship a God so powerful that with His spoken word, He can create the world, He can create man, and from the side of man, God created Eve. And we notice that as we take a look at this biblical companionship, we notice immediately that Adam is accepting gratefully his wife, Eve. We notice that Adam is delighted with her. Notice this in verse 23. The Bible says, "And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man." Now, it's very elementary. And yet, let me say that long before the issue was politicized by liberals and Bible deniers, God's ordained way for the family was a man coming together with a woman. Very basic, but very biblical this morning. And God brought Eve to Adam, and Adam saw Eve, and he said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." He immediately accepted her with a heart of gratitude. Now, let me say that accepting people and accepting your spouse is always done much easier when you understand how God has accepted you. when you know the security that comes from a loving relationship with God. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 and verse number 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Someone that knows that Christ is their Savior, someone who understands how much He has accepted us and forgiven us, is much more prepared to show acceptance in their life. Well, Adam certainly knew the love of God at this time in the early moments of creation and instantly placed his affection and acceptance on his wife. Ephesians 5 speaks of this to the husband, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, notice this, even as the Lord, the church. This was Adam's heart, and this is the heart of a godly husband, accepting gratefully the wife that God has given. But then we also see in this first portion of the scripture that this marriage was to be a marriage where they were abiding permanently. This companionship was to be a constant, abiding companionship. Notice that, if you will, as well. The Bible says in verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, this permanent abiding relationship has three steps in verse number 24. Those steps are leaving, cleaving, and weaving. And I want you to see that in verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother. A lot of times young couples have to take a few months or years to figure all of that out. And it's not just a physical leaving. Sometimes it's leaving habits behind. Sometimes it's giving in to the way you always did something. And sometimes it means having a learning spirit and a humble spirit. I remember when Terry and I were first married, and I came home one night after working the swing shift at Caterpillar Tractor Company, and I was filled from head to toe with dirt and grease, and I walked into the kitchen of our little apartment there in Upland, California, and I went to the refrigerator and grabbed a half gallon of milk. Didn't see anybody looking, so I just started drinking right out of the half gallon of milk, and then I went over to the kitchen sink and grabbed some liquid soap and Ajax and started washing my greasy hands in the kitchen sink. And there's a towel hanging right there on the front of the stove. And I grabbed that towel and got all the grease and muck off onto the towel. That's when my wife cleared her throat from over in the corner. And she looked at me like, you've got a lot of growing to do, Bubba. Let me help you out with a few things here. And that's when I learned that there were towels made for drying your hands, and there were towels made for decoration. And I had just dried off my hands on the decoration towel, and I was told right away that I needed to learn to leave some of my habits behind as we became one in this marital relationship. And all of us have things like that that we lay down. We're leaving our father and mother. We're leaving perhaps some of the routines of the past that are not right and wrong issues. They're just issues that perhaps we can set aside. Leaving. Then notice, secondly, cleaving. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And that word means to be affixed together, to be glued permanently. And God wants us to enter our marriage relationship with a spirit that is a serious spirit of commitment. Mark 10:7, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And so we see the leaving element, and then the cleaving and the commitment. And then we see, thirdly, the weaving. Notice that in verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. God speaks here of the unity of the husband and the wife, weaving a life together. Let me mention two categories where we must be weaved together, woven together rather, in our lives. First of all, spiritually. God wants us to be one spiritually. That's why we often say to young people in their dating lives, you don't want to date someone that is not a Christian. Be not unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. Why is that? Because you cannot weave together with someone who doesn't know the Lord. And so God's intention is that we would be one spiritually. Ephesians 5:28, we read a moment ago, men are to love their wives. Verse 29, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. But notice verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. You see, as children of God, we are a member, if you will, of Christ, and we are one with Christ. And as we come together as the children of God in marriage, we can be one spiritually, and then, of course, one physically. God intends that in marriage there would be one flesh. There would be an intimate, loving relationship between the husband and the wife. Now, we know the world has perverted that concept. And a recent study said that for every time physical intimacy is shown on television, 100 times there will be some type of a relationship shown outside of marriage for every one time it is shown between a husband and wife. And so hundreds of times a week, young people are shown that physical relations and sexual activity outside of marriage are normal and acceptable. Well, let me say, young people, it may be normal in today's society, but it is not the will of God for your life. God's will for your life concerning those matters is that one day you would have a husband or a wife that loves Jesus Christ and that loves you not just for the physical, but because of your relationship with God and because of who you are in Jesus Christ and because of that spiritual attraction and, yes, that physical attraction, there can be a godly relationship in marriage that is strong and that lasts. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7:3, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. God intends the spiritual relationship of a marriage and the physical relationship of a marriage to be a bond, whereas they become one flesh, together united in Christ. Now, God intends for every Christian home to be a place of companionship that is built around the principles of the Word of God. But as I said a moment ago, the devil's going to fight that every step of the way. And he wants to tear your marriage apart and your family apart. And sometimes we respond wrongly when it comes to dealing with some of the challenges we face. And I want to give you very quickly 5 improper responses to those marital challenges and those conflicts we face in our family. Notice, first of all, it is wrong when we fail to acknowledge the problem. Sometimes there can come a problem of bitterness. There can come a problem of some type of resentment in our heart. And many times couples will somehow go into a state of denial. And let me say this morning, God wants to resolve that problem. And God wants to bring healing to your family. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. And if we allow these problems to go on and these bitter spirits to remain, many times our family life will go from bad to worse. Denial's not the way to deal with the problem. Secondly, withdrawal from real relationship development. You know, some people just withdraw. They get to a place where they give up. I've counseled families where the husband lives in one house and the wife in another, and some who live in the same house but never speak together. It's as though they've decided, you know, we'll stay together, but we're not going to give an effort at this anymore. But the Bible says in Ephesians 4:25, wherefore put away lying every man and speak truth every man with his neighbor. Notice this, for we are members one of another. God has designed the Christian life for each of us to be related, members one with another, one flesh. It's not God's will that we live apart. It's not God's will that we let the sun go down on our wrath and give place to the devil. He wants us to work through and find His grace is sufficient for our marriages. And then a third improper way that we see sometimes is people who keep score. Sometimes I meet people who can tell me something that their spouse did 12 years ago that irritated them, or something that 5 pastors ago irritated them. It seems like people can tell you things that they have harbored for years and years, and that is never the will of God for your life. My friends, some of you this morning need to build a bridge and get over it. Some of you need to learn how to forgive and how to go on with your life. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. By the way, how many of you are thankful for God's forgiveness in your life? And God says, I want you to forgive others in that way. I don't want you harboring bitterness and keeping score. The fourth improper response is this: attacking the person instead of the problem. Attacking the person instead of the problem. It's tragic how many times we hear of even Christian men who fly off the handle and they'll say demeaning things to their spouse. They'll curse at their spouse. They'll say things that are degrading, things that a wife cannot change about herself. And I want you to see what the Bible says about that. In Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You see, we're not the only ones that are ministers here on the platform this morning, but God has called all of us to be ministers. And He says, I want you to minister grace. I want you to say things that are edifying and that build others up. And sometimes if we're not careful, all we say is critical. Sometimes all we see is what needs to be fixed or what is wrong. Billy Sunday once said, try praising your wife, even if it does scare her right at first. And I really believe there's some truth to that, that we need to look for ways to praise and encourage. And then fifthly, the wrong response to marital disunity is allowing anger to linger. This is so dangerous. We see it so oftentimes, people that will take an offense and will allow anger to linger in their life. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:26 these words, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And as you study the context of those words, God says you can be frustrated or angry at a problem, but not at a person. Don't get angry at the person, and don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Now listen this morning, men. You show me a man who loves the Lord and he's mature in his faith. You show me a man who's committed to the Word of God and growing in grace towards his wife. A man who knows how to forgive and a man who knows that God has called him to this relationship. And you send that man out of town on business, or you put him in a stressful situation, or even a place of temptation, and that man will stand on the Word of God as a mature Christian. But you show me a man who lets bitterness come into his heart. He doesn't read his Bible. He's living apart from his wife in the sense of their relationship. And he's angry at her and she frustrates him, and that builds and builds and builds. That man becomes very vulnerable to temptation. And that's what the Bible means when it says, neither give place to the devil. And when you stay angry at your spouse, you're just saying, here I am, devil. Here's a big target. Take me out. You're giving him place. And God doesn't want you to let the sun go down on your wrath. If you have to humble yourself to the place of coming to get some counseling, or if you have to come to the altar every Sunday morning and weep and ask God to help you and give you strength, I'm telling you, whatever it takes, don't let the devil get place in your relationship. One lady got so frustrated, her husband was always upset and they were always arguing. And she decided one day, she said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a comeback with him. And she did. And he came in and said some things to her. And she said, look, she said, even a broken clock is right once a day. He looked at her and said, twice a day. You know, you just can't please some people. And they're always looking for fault and something that they can bring against you. But God said, I designed marriage to bring biblical companionship, leaving, cleaving, and weaving, one flesh. That's the first purpose of marriage if we're going to make a difference. Notice secondly now that God designed marriage for biblical communication. And I do not mean here just gibber-gabbing and talking about stuff, but I do mean biblical communication. God designs the home. Whether you're a single parent today or whatever your family status, it is His desire that in the home, biblical truth would be spoken of, that the Bible would be read, that God would be glorified verbally in the home. Now, turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 6 as we take the overview of the Christian home today. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. The Bible says these words, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, God is preparing His children to enter into the promised land. And He is teaching us a vital lesson. And here's the lesson, that God wants the families in the land to be right. As the families go, so goes the nation. And I truly believe this morning there's a lesson for us from the children of Israel, from Deuteronomy chapter 6. We see God's interest in the family. Now, God wants the family to speak of His word and to know His word. And the local church is vital in the mix of that, in the teaching and preaching and discipling. And a Christian school and Sunday school are helpful. But the baseline for Christian education is to be the home and the family unit. And the words should be, first of all, recited words. God wants the words recited. And let me tell you what I mean by that. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, we read something that is called the Hebrew Shema. It is this simple phrase, "The Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." The Shema. And this Shema was something that a Jewish person would say every morning at the beginning of their day. The Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. It was recited. It was the daily acknowledgement of God being the Lord of their life and of the fact that all of us should love Him with all of our heart. And God wants every family to begin their day, if not with those words, with that same heart attitude toward God and with the scripture in our heart and in our hand. And please understand, you cannot separate your growth as a Christian from your growth in family life. We must grow individually and then as a family together. And so recited words. Now these recited words are to be hidden in our hearts. The Bible speaks of that in verse number 6. Notice that in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." And some of you have learned that verse, Psalm 119 and verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my what? Heart, that I might not what? Sin against thee." God wants us as parents and as young people to hide the word of God in our heart, to know it and to understand it. And then God wants us to teach those words to our children and to pass it on to the next generation. Notice that in verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Now, moms and dads, I know some of you, that's an awkward concept. But God has given to us an order. And the order is that we are to have the scriptures prevalent in our home. And we are to teach the scriptures to our children. And repetition is the key to learning. And the Bible should be the centerpiece of the home when it comes to the knowledge and training that's given to children. One pastor went to visit a family and he knocked on the door. And a lady came to the door and answered the door. And she was surprised that it was the pastor. And she said to her son, somewhat piously, "Son, go and get the Bible that mommy loves to read. And go and get the book, rather, that mommy loves to read." She wanted him to bring the Bible. He came back a minute later with the TV guide. Now, folks, if the book that you love to read is the TV guide, your children are going to come out something like a ninja fighter and Chuck Norris and who knows what else they're going to act out. Because the fact of the matter is that garbage in is garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. But when the Bible comes in, there's a difference in the way that we live. And God wants each and every home to diligently and with repetition teach the children the Word of God. Now, some of you say, "Well, I don't have a degree in theology and I don't know exactly what to do." And let me just pull over here for just a moment. Dads, let me speak to you. How hard would it be at dinner or at breakfast, whenever you sit down with your family, just to even read a verse? John 3:16. Read the Psalms. You say, "Pastor, I have trouble praying for my lunch at Denny's." Well, man, let's go ahead and be men. Let's go ahead and not be ashamed of our Lord. And I understand, sometimes we get a little cotton mouth, we don't exactly know what to say, and it seems harder with teenagers. It's like they're the fount of all knowledge. How can we help them? But you know what they need? They need a dad and a mom that talk about Jesus, talk about the Bible, read a verse.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Now, if you've missed any part of this program, including portions that we didn't have time for today, simply go to dailyintheword.org, where you can listen online anytime. You can also download the Daily in the Word podcast to your device and listen on the go. In life, there's nothing more important than knowing where you'll spend eternity. Some people believe that being a good person is their pass to get into heaven, or that this life is all there is. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Pastor Paul Chappell wants us to send you his newest book called Paid in Full, Your Debt, God's Payment, as a thanks when you support this ministry financially. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this book for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org. Thanks in advance for your support.
I encourage you to jumpstart your day with inspirational messages from Pastor Paul Chapel. Sign up now and receive daily devotionals emailed directly to your inbox. Whether you're at home, at the office, or on the go, make God's Word a part of your day. You'll be encouraged, challenged, and energized to grow in your relationship with God every morning. Visit dailyintheword.org and register for your free daily devotionals from Pastor Chapel today.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.